Give the musicians a hand. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Thank you for coming this morning. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. Without mothers, we wouldn't be here, would we? Some of them went to see their mothers this weekend, and one said they were going to see the mother who was 92 years old. I said, well, that was good. My mother left out of here when she was 93. It was alert and excited and still with everything. How is your sound doing, Ann? Can you hear it? I hear an echo. Is it okay? You all right, Melvin? So we're glad you're here. Roger Hall is here, a friend of mine from Greenville. We used to play football together. And he surprised me by showing up with his wife this morning. And Roger was an all-Southern football player. And we were very proud of him. And took it out on a lot of people, didn't we, Roger? So, they weren't too happy we came. So we're glad you're here. And remember that if you haven't called your mother or written her, do that today. Some of you are on outs with your mother. Get back on ends with your mother. Be sure and thank Pam and H. Lee for letting us be here, and Betty, who opens up for us and makes sure things are going straight. H. Lee is going to start having food at Sunday dinner the 26th of this month. So he's going to have a brunch, and we're all welcome, and it's only going to cost $5 or $6 or so. And he's doing that especially to get us a place to go close by. If you don't know where his place is, you go one block this way and take a left, and it's the big green building. It takes up half the block. H is at the beach, and it's very good food. Greg cooks. He was formerly with the country club out here, where most of us weren't allowed to go to eat. So we're glad he's here now. Had pimento cheese in the celery out there. We're going to have it. You dip your own over here. I guess there's a difference. Bible study, 7 o'clock at the Sleep Inn on Highway 17. And if you haven't been coming to that, you need to. It's a good time of fellowship, and you're subject to learn something you don't know. We have several emails come in every day from the prayer list, from the prayer chain. If you aren't on that, see Susie Bryant and get on there. And she sends things out by computer all the time that to pray for people and answers to prayer and things that people need. And we can kind of keep in touch, although we're scattered through that medium. So if you aren't on that, please get on that. Be careful driving this week. Motorcycles are smaller than you. You're not used to looking for them, and it's very easy to hit someone or pull out in front of them when you're not used to that. And so that's just a word of caution. There'll be 50,000 in town. So this morning we want to turn to Luke 7, 36 through 50 if you brought a Bible. If you didn't, we'll read mine. It's quite an interesting story about a lady. I do not know if she had children or not, if she was a mother or not. Maybe she was and maybe she wasn't. But it's a quite interesting story that we will expound this morning after we pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the privilege to come to you in the name of Jesus, that we can sit by the seaside as he did and preach forth the word of God as he did. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that this is an opportunity put forth to people on Mother's Day for them to honor their mother, and that they can be thankful for the home they were raised in and the teachings they were given. And if there be one here who knows you not as Father, may before this day ends, that changes. May they understand, as the lady we're going to study about this morning, may they understand that they're in great need of a Father in heaven, and that it's the Lord Jesus Christ, and available just for the warning that you're here to care for all problems, to forgive all sins, and that we have the privilege of worshiping you in song, worshiping you in what we do, reading your word, learning from it, and given the invitation to live with you forever. As always, remove me from this place that you be heard, that anything I say that should be forgotten will be, and that anything that should be remembered indeed should be, that whether today, next year, 10 years from now, someone who needs you as Savior will say, that was meant for me, and I need to come to you. Thank you for all you do. Be with us through this day. Thank you for the good things you've done for us and continue to do. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Saw Charlie Daniels and Mary come in. We're always glad to see them. I had to go to dentist this week, get a couple of teeth pulled, baby teeth. As soon as I lose this baby fat, I'm going to be something. But I went down to the McDonald's of dentistry. You see advertised on TV. They don't fool with you. No music to make you happy. Sign on the wall when you sit down said, this is going to hurt. I said, man. Took my name, come in there, and I said, hello, I'm... He didn't say nothing, just stuck me in the mouth. Two times with Novocaine. The little girl rammed 2 pounds of cotton. I'm looking like a chipmunk. I don't even know anybody in the room. And looking around, I'm hurting. And they make you a little old plate before they pull your teeth. They're in business down there. And he jerks them out, and they cram them in, and you're looking, and the little girl, the little old thing that holds it on your tooth, that sharp silver part, right in my tongue. Ugh. So I said some things that shouldn't be repeated here, most of which I learned from Charlie. That's when I saw him, he he said, they're going to hurt you. You might want to say this. And I did. And then I had a suggestion where to put the tools that they probably hadn't thought of. But fortunately, I had 2 shots of Novocaine and 2 pounds of cotton, so all they heard was, so I was glad of that. So I told the doctor, I said, well, listen, the sign, they give you stuff. This is going to hurt. Your mouth's going to feel like it's full. It will alter the taste of food. I mean, everything on is bad. After they've done it, they give you this sheet. And said, your speech will be different. And I said, wait a minute, I make a living doing this. How is this going to change? They say, you'll have a southern accent. I said, hey, I can live with that. That'll be all right. That'll be okay. It didn't hurt Billy Graham. It didn't hurt Jerry Clower. It didn't hurt Richard Petty, and it won't hurt me. But I did get him on the way out. I said, by the way, doctor, will I be able to play the trumpet with these? He said, of course. I said, wonderful. I've never been able to do that before. I'll enjoy playing the trumpet. But those folks will hurt you. But at least I'm beautiful, and then that's all that matters, isn't it? Partial plate. They said they don't want a full plate, a partial plate. I said, give me an impartial plate. Anybody can wear it. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. All right, you should have found your place by now. Luke 7:36-50. And one of the Pharisees desired him, Jesus of course, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had bidden him saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she's a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, Master, say on. And Jesus said, there was a certain creditor who had 2 debtors, and the one owed 500 denarii, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, which of them will love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, Thou hast judged rightly. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth a little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that were eating with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. We find this story, and it's quite interesting when you know a little of the background of it and can read between the lines. As I say, I don't know if this lady was a mother or not, whether she had children or had them later or whatever. I just know that she was in trouble and found the answer. In verse 36, we find she's invited to a Pharisee's house, and the Pharisee was a sect of the Jews. And it was a very nitpicking sect. It was a sect that was very self-righteous, and they were very assured they were the only ones who knew the truth. And they looked down on everybody who they possibly could. But Jesus went when invited to this man's house anyway, because he knew it was these very people who before had said of him, Who is this that eats with sinners and drinks with tax collectors? Who is this guy? Supposed to be a preacher and he's eating with the scum of the earth here. What's his problem? And they were looking down on him. And this is the type of people you find there. There were some good Pharisees, some good godly Pharisees, but as in any, as this would be what we would call a denomination, there are those who are in it because they applied, filled out an application, and signed a card. But that's the only way they're in it. There are people today who say, I'm a Baptist or a Methodist or an Episcopalian or a Lutheran or a whatever. And it used to be when they said that to me, I knew their theology, where they stood on the scriptures, what they thought of Christ, and they need to say no more. Today, when someone says that, a great many questions must be asked before you know who you're talking to. I had one the other Friday night. What time y'all start Sunday? I said, 9:30. Well, I'm going to be there. I said, okay, that'll be, you're welcome to come. He said, I'm used to going at 11. I'm a Baptist. Now, he's drunk as a goat. And I said, yeah, I bet they're proud. So I didn't have to ask what kind of Baptist. I knew he was a self-righteous Baptist, and who was one Baptist by label, not by faith. And the Pharisees did this. They would invite people to their homes, especially the ones who wanted to show off. And they, if he had a sit-down dinner, you have to understand the culture. This Pharisee obviously was pretty well off. He was doing okay. And a house that would have something like this would have a courtyard inside. And he was inviting, as you will see later, this fellow was holding his little dinner party just for self-promotion. No doubt it invited the city council and the mayor, and invited the most popular people, and he had invited Jesus not because Jesus was Jesus. He invited Jesus because he had heard the rumor that maybe he was a prophet and he had done some miracles and he was in town, so it would boost the Pharisees' ego if he could have this man in attendance. And he invited him, and they'd let the city folk, common folk like me and you, we could go inside the courtyard and watch the other folks do their business and have a good time. We couldn't partake in it, but we could watch. And that was the setup here. And he had invited Jesus and his crowd. He had invited the mayor and all the people that he was trying to impress to have his dinner. And this woman, in verse 37, said, a woman in the city who was a sinner, and we check this back and we find out she's a prostitute. She's a well-known prostitute in town. She was not invited to the dinner. But she knew she could go in that courtyard as she wanted to. And she showed up in the courtyard, and nobody pitched a fit because they were scared she just might have her black book with her and their name just might be in it. I often wondered why I read this story, why they allowed her to do what she did. I said, oh yeah, I remember, I know why. They didn't want her pulling out the little black book. With her, she brought an alabaster box of expensive perfume. This was done before in the scriptures, if you will remember, when someone took a box of ointment, which was the expensive perfume. And when we mean expensive, this could be the cost of a year's salary for someone. It was a lot of money. This put Coco Chanel to shame. Coco Chanel is just $100 an ounce. This stuff, a little bottle, could cost $4,000 or $5,000. And once before, you remember that Jesus had had ointment put on his head, and all the disciples, especially Judas, complained why that money could have been sold. That could have been sold and the money given to the poor. Judas didn't want to give it to the poor. He said, put it in this bag. Let me get hold of it. And this had happened before. Now it was happening again. Here this prostitute brought a box of ointment, expensive ointment. And then it says she stood at Jesus' feet behind him. And sometimes you, like I, read the scriptures kind of fast and we don't stop and think, how do you stand at somebody's feet behind them? You have to know that when they ate, they laid down on couches. And the heads was toward the table, toward the food, and they'd get up on one arm and talk to their neighbor and be convenient and eat a little food. And everybody's feet stuck out. All the heads were together where they could talk and get at the food. So this woman comes in behind while this is going on and finds Jesus and stands behind his feet. And she begins weeping. And this isn't just a subtle cry. She begins weeping because she came for that purpose. She had heard the Savior would be there. And she, unlike the Pharisee, found out who he really was. She knew, like we talked about Bartimaeus, who was blind by the side of the road and Jesus was passing by. And Bartimaeus screamed, stop, thou son of David. He wanted help. He knew it was his only chance, and so did she. This lady said, this may be the last chance I have to see him. This may be my last opportunity to get next to him, and I'm going. I don't care what the party's about, and I don't care what they think, and I don't need an invitation. I am going. And she went, and when she got behind him and touched him, she knew her wickedness and began weeping and did what you must do and I must do before we are cleansed by Jesus. You're going to have to come to the feet of Jesus as he hangs on the cross. And she came and began to wash his feet with her tears. And it takes a lot of tears to wash somebody's feet. She was in grievous sorrow, for she knew where she was going, if not forgiven. And she didn't have a towel with her, so she let down her hair. The prostitutes used to wear their hair a foot or so up in the air in a stick-looking thing, and it would be braided with gold and hang down behind the ponytail type thing, very beautiful. And they weren't to undo their hair at a place like that. You undid your hair at home, and that was it. She took the gold braid off and let her hair fall and took her beautiful hair and began washing the feet of Jesus. And then when they were dry, she kissed his feet. And this was the utmost sign of humility. It's one thing to wash somebody's feet courteously. It's another thing to kiss them. And she began to kiss the feet of Jesus in humble adoration and total love. And then she took out her ointment and she rubbed his feet with oil. Surely she knew of his travels. Surely she knew he walked many, many miles. There was a wrestler one time years ago who people were, you know, they'll present Jesus to you as some little sissy just came back from the hair parlor. And he began to read the journeys of Jesus and where he walked. And this man was in shape. He was an athlete. And he went to the Holy Land and said, I'm going to walk where Jesus walked. I'm going to follow these journeys. And he liked to wore him out. Like to kill him. This will do damage to your feet in sandals and dirt and in the hot Judean sun. And this woman knew that his feet must hurt. And he would enjoy his feet rubbed with oil. She took that upon herself to anoint his feet with oil. You see, this woman understood a couple of steps that she had to take and that you have to take if you're going to come to the feet of Jesus. She understood that her need was desperate. And the problem with today's world is you don't see your need as desperate. You see yourself as the Pharisee, that you just have a little sin and it's not desperate and you're not all that bad. And like the Pharisee said, well, it's no big thing. Invite that guy. Was he a preacher? Yeah, we'll have him over. That'll look good down at the synagogue. I'll be looking good. And but he didn't see himself as in need of a Savior. But this woman saw her need as desperation. She said, I've heard some of his people preach on the street corners. I've heard some of his disciples in some houses I've slipped into and listened outside the window. And I've heard what they teach. And I don't know who told them about me, but they were talking about me. And I have a desperate need. And if I don't change, I'm going to hell, according to this man. And I need to do something. And she found herself in desperation. So she took desperate action. She invaded this party where the town rulers would be. She could be ridiculed and scorned. She could be asked to leave and not allowed to even come in. It was a chance to be embarrassed in front of the city. And she said, I don't care what they do. I'm going to him. I don't care what my friends think. I'm in desperate need. And I need a Savior and I need help. And I don't care what you think. I'm going to get my help, and I'm going to Jesus. Somewhere she had heard either him say or one of his preachers, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. She said, I need rest. Lord, I need rest. I can't find it in my profession. I can't find it in the gifts that are brought me. I can't find it in the money that I earn. I can't find it when I get through work and go out and try to have a good time with the other prostitutes and we laugh at the fools that gave us their money. It's just all empty and hollow, and I need somebody who can help me. I need a Savior. She said, I'm going, so she went. And when she got there, she surrendered totally. You see, we've read and we'll continue to read what the Pharisee did. He never surrendered totally to God. He was, as we say today, playing church. He was the man who said, oh yeah, I'm a church member. I go to church regular. Let's see, last month I went. And I think, well, a couple of months before that I was there. And Christmas and Easter, and you know what I'm talking about. He had no commitment. He hadn't surrendered his life. He was just playing the game and didn't think he needed a Savior. She totally surrendered her friendships, probably her place of business. She didn't know what to do now. She was in between the two, not accepted by the so-called good folks. And now, as she decided to follow Jesus, she'd be put aside by the bad So she's in that gap in between, in no man's land. No man's land isn't bad if Jesus is there with you. Fourth thing she did was give her most precious possession. No doubt she was paid well for her business venture, as she wouldn't have stayed in it. She purchased things as you and I do, and the most precious thing she had was this alabaster box of precious ointment. It was a symbol, it was the Rolex of the day. She brought her alabaster box and her ointment, and without hesitation said, "It's all I have to give. I'll give myself, I'll give my life, I'll give my all." And that's what it takes. You have to give your all. Verse 39 tells us that the Pharisee saw this and spake within himself, which means he just thought it. He didn't say it. Why, if this guy was a prophet, he would know that's a whore rubbing his feet. Kind of prophet he's supposed to be. Kind of preacher he, look at this. I don't equate myself with him. I get the same thing. Well, what's he doing up here at Ducks? What's he doing at H's? And enough of y'all go to turn them and tap them on the shoulder and say, he's fishing. Fishing for who? Probably you. And then we have slipped quietly down, and they hear what we do here and quietly say, oh, I didn't know. Yeah, well, now you do. And the Pharisee said, if he were a prophet, he'd know this was a prostitute. Why, he's no prophet, is what he's saying within himself. You see, he's shown who he was. His judgmental side has come out. He's saying, why, I wouldn't let her touch me. And you let her touch you, what's the matter with you? And Jesus is going to put a little news on him in a little bit that Clorox won't get off. You see, the Pharisees had not heard yet that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, are the ones that are going to go. And there's many a church filled this morning with people who wouldn't know Jesus from a bowl of Jell-O. Been going to church many, many years. If you ask them to give you the plan of salvation, they'd say, I don't know. I can give you that Amway thing. No. No, no. Well, if you died today and had to face God, and he said, why should I let you in your heaven? In my heaven. What would you say? It's fun to ask people that question. I ask them just to find out where they stand, because as soon as they give the answer, I know. And they'll give you all, well, I've been a good mother. We just had Mother's Day. All the kids brought gifts, and we had a big time. And yeah, I know. Well, I've never killed anybody. I know. I've never been a prostitute. I know. Well, I'm not a drunk. I drink a little. I'm not drunk. Okay. And they'll give you all these excuses. But until they do what this lady did and said, look, the reason I'm going to heaven is I saw my desperate need as a sinner. I understood if I didn't do something about it, I was going to hell, and somebody preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to me and told me that he died on Calvary's cross and shed his blood for the sins of mankind, was buried and arose the third day, and if anyone would believe that and put their faith in that and accept him as Savior, they'd go to heaven. That's why I'm going to heaven. If they can't give you that answer, you better get them down here, because they have the wrong one. The Pharisee would have told you that he was running for elder or deacon or the board next year, and he was very proud of his religiosity. Religion has sent more hell than people to hell than Budweiser ever had time to. Only those who do the will of my Father which is in heaven will go. Verse 40 and 43, Jesus is tired of the foolishness. He'd been there long enough. He's heard enough about who won the races, the camel race, and all the things that were going on, and how much donkeys were. And he watched this little scene. He said, I've had enough. Simon, I need your attention. And everybody shut up. Can't wait to hear his voice. Just when he spoke, he demands attention. You see, what he's going to tell them is going to let them know who's sitting at that table. Because he is discerning the thoughts of Simon. Simon didn't say this out loud. He discerned his thoughts, and only God can do that. And the parable that he just told about the people being forgiven, the 500 of the 50 denarii which you owe, which one would show the most love, and that little parable just illustrates the freeness and the equality in God's giving. Whether you're a big sinner or a little, you're dead in his eyes if you've done one. But freely he will give you forgiveness, and freely he will give you pardon. And whether, like the Pharisee, you think you hadn't been all that bad, but you're still going to hell, or whether, like the prostitute who knew very well what her end was going to be, he says, come unto me, ye who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We'll mark it forgiven. We'll mark it paid. I'll sign it in blood, and you can be free. And then he begins to scold the Pharisee in front of all his guests. He said, look, verse 44, I entered into your house and you gave me no water for my feet. You see, it was a common custom. Everybody did it. When you entered the house, there was a bowl of water beside the doorpost and towels. And either you as the owner of the house or a servant, if you had servants working with you, somebody washed the dust of the feet off the guest. It was common courtesy. They were walking dusty roads to get there. They wore sandals. The feet would be dusty and they needed to be washed. And it was just a common courtesy to do that. And he said, look, I came to your house. You didn't even show me the courtesy of washing my feet. Common courtesy that the poorest man in town would have done. Yet this woman, with the tears that she was crying, washed my feet and wiped them with the hair of her head. She showed uncommon courtesy, went over and above what you had to do. And she did it when you didn't, and she not only doesn't own this place, you didn't even want her here. And you holding yourself up to be a Pharisee? You're holding yourself up to be a man of God. He said, I came to your door. You asked me to come and I brought. I get no glory from being here. You're the one who benefits by my being here. I know what you're doing. Well, we'll have the preacher down. They see we have the preacher. That'll mean we're good people. Hide the playboys and, get rid of some other stuff and we'll have the preacher. They'll know we're all right. No. He said, I came in, and it's a common thing in our culture to kiss people as a greeting. Still says it to do it, to kiss each other, to give each other a Christian kiss, welcome them. I know churches where you can't get a handshake. Thanks be to you. I know people who say, that's the friendliest place I've ever been. Because if you shake my hand and you're a lady, you're going to be real lucky if you get away without me kissing you. And if you're a man, I'm going to hug you. And it's all right with Bob and it's okay with Melvin. And if you got an issue with that, you come out there and me and Melvin and Bob take care of it for you. He said, I didn't get a kiss from you, but this woman that you're over with your buddies damning, calling her a whore, what's she doing here? She has not ceased to kiss my feet since she's been in your house. You calling yourself something? Then she took her oil. You and I both know that when someone enters your home that deserves honor, that it's not just the washing of the feet and it's not just the kissing. But when an honored guest comes in, it's your duty to anoint their head with oil, to anoint them in a special place and say, this is a special person, this is a special guest, this is an honored guest, and we're glad he's here today. And as a special honor, you anoint the head and the hair of somebody in oil. And you didn't do that. You didn't do that. You don't know who I am. See, I heard you when they said, are we going to anoint anybody's oil? And you said, no, ain't nobody going to be important enough to anoint today. I wasn't here, but I heard that, okay? Yet this woman, she came and took her spikenard, her ointment that cost her a great deal of money, and she broke it. And she not only didn't anoint my hair, she anointed my feet with it. She sought so much of me. And then I read that and thought about it, and I said, here's a man with means. He's doing real well, and in that country somewhere, somehow, he owns some sheep. And somewhere, somehow, in the synagogue, he had heard the 23rd Psalm read, and he read where sheep were anointed. He anoints my head with oil when David wrote that psalm, saying, this is how the good shepherd took care of his sheep, which is the way God takes care of us and honors us and anoints us with the oil of the Holy Spirit. And if he was a Pharisee and had any teaching whatsoever, he knew the 23rd Psalm. And I said, how sad. He probably has scolded his shepherds because they failed to anoint some sheep, because therein was his money. That's how he made a living. But he had the opportunity to anoint the head of the Lamb of God and turned it down because of selfishness and greed. Jesus turned to the woman, said, I'm telling her whose sins are many, and I know them all. But she loved me much, and she saw her need, and she wanted the answer to it. And she faced me, and she faced me in front of you, and she put herself in this position simply because she loved me. And I'm going to tell you today, her sins are forgiven. And here they go again. And they that were eating with him began to say within themselves, didn't complain to him, who is this that forgive sins also? He said, when you boys get the New Testament, if you live that long, turn back a few pages and you'll see that happens again. Down the road, I'm going to heal a guy when they drop him through the roof and put him in front of me, and I'm going to heal him because he thinks he needs physical healing only, and I'm going to forgive his sins. And some of your cousins, the other Pharisees, are going to be there, and they're going to say the same thing. Well, who is this that thinks he can forgive sins? Isn't that for God only? Yes, it is, and you're looking at him. How's that? I can say I forgive your sins because I'm the one who's going to die for your sins. I'm the one who can say your sins are forgiven, and the only man who can say your sins are forgiven, for I am the righteous one. I am the Lord God Almighty manifested in flesh, and I am here for the sole purpose of dying for your sins. You have no idea who sits at table with you. Then he turned to the lady and said, honey, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. whether words were spoken and she asked forgiveness or whether just her actions and what was in her heart, and Jesus knew it. I don't know what took place there. I just know he accepted what she did as a commitment to follow him and repent of her sins and start in a new direction, honoring him as the Messiah, as the one who could save the world. Here this woman came and gave her life to the Savior, for she knew she had no other opportunity. There was no other Savior to go to. Who is this that forgiveth sins also? Got a Bible that runs the scripture verses of the deity of Christ in the back. I need to copy those pages down. There's a person or two who come to us are a little confused or don't really understand the deity of Christ. And it runs scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. There must be over 100 that point out why the Lord Jesus Christ has to be the Lord God Almighty. When the Jehovah's Witnesses make the mistake of knocking on my door, it's that book I get and say, yeah, let's do read some. For you see, you know not Jehovah. You don't believe in the Spirit of God, so how can you witness for him without his Spirit? You are a farce and a liar and on the way to a hell you don't believe in. And I won't condemn you because I want you to find the Lord. But this book tells me not even to wish you have a good day, let alone let you in my house. You're dangerous. You see, the first question to ask any preacher, that church you intend to go to, whose teaching you sit under, and you have the right to question his beliefs, for he is going to implant them in your head and heart, is what think ye of Christ? He'll say, what? I'll say, what think ye of Christ? Do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord God Almighty in his fullness? And any other answer but yes won't do. For this book says, he who believes not that I am, and that is the Yehovistic, the Jehovah of the Old Testament, he who believes not that I am he will die in his sins. And you can get all the rest of it right and miss the deity of Christ, and rest assured, no man who denies the deity of Christ will darken the door of heaven. Mark that down and underline it. Your eternal life depends on it. So here a woman saw who he was, honored him for being who he was, surrendered all to be part of what he was. And it'll be good to see Abraham and Moses, and it'll be good to see Adam. It'll be good to see Samson. It'll be good to see King David. But I want to sit down at this table. Just let you. And Mephibosheth. You see, I like heroes that are more in line with me. But the good news is, through the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ, my sins too are forgiven. And I will sit with them one day and say, isn't it good to know him? Wasn't it good to love him? Isn't it good that we'll be in his presence forevermore? And she's going to sing And I don't know if cyclical history is true or not. A lot of things do go in circles, but I have a feeling that the prostitute left that dinner. Said, you know, I'm a sinner. Saved by grace. Maybe somebody ought to write a song about that someday. And if you're here, sinner without a savior, don't leave this building without one. As we pray, you silently pray, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and been a lot like the Pharisee. I thought mine weren't too bad because I pointed at the prostitute too. And I thought, well, yeah, I've done a few things wrong, but you know that dope dealer. And yeah, I've done some things wrong. I'm not perfect, but you know, those murderers. Oh, come unto me, ye who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And if you need a Savior today, you pray that prayer, and I promise you, on the authority of the written word of God and on the authority of the spoken living word of God as he spoke it when he was here, that you shall live with him forever. What a Mother's Day present for you. Shall we pray? And gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you on Mother's Day that we can gather and honor you. For it was you who gave that special something to mothers that had love that us daddies just can't understand. We can't understand. Mothers love in a different way. I thank you for mine. Like everybody here, I had the best one. What she taught me at her knee kept me from hell. If there be one here this morning who finds themselves lost and undone and without a Savior, would you let them celebrate with this lady? Would you stop by and put an extra tug on their heart today as you move amongst us and say, I know you've put it off all your life, but today's a good day. And like the prostitute, it may be the last opportunity you have to hear the gospel story this plainly and this clearly. Don't let it go by. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for caring for us, giving us a home to live in. Good people furnishing it for us, taking care of us. They remind me of you. Thank you for everyone. Be with us today and forevermore. Let us go from this place and say truly, it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. And may we come again next week. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. And for his sake, amen.